Praise God. In my hand, as you will see, I have a toothpick. And very easily, I break it. No problem. Very easy. Now in my hand, I have four toothpicks. And again, I can break it, every one. It's not quite as easy as just breaking one, but I can still break them. Now I have in my hand approximately 100 toothpicks. And try as I may, I cannot break them. Why is that? It's because that each toothpick laying close to the other toothpick lends its strength to the next toothpick and to the next toothpick until actually all 100 of the toothpicks are acting as one toothpick. And they're together, as they are united together, their strength is greater than my strength. What you have seen is a simple demonstration of a physical unity. And in a physical unity, there is much power. It is the reason that a huge, massive army, though composed of weak, untrained individuals, will overpower and conquer a smaller army with trained men. It is why that one individual may have the strength to overpower five other individuals. But if he is attacked by 10 individuals, the 10 will overcome the one. There is much strength in a physical unity. I am sure that the statement, "United we stand, but divided we fall," is a true statement of fact. Why? Because if I take these toothpicks, I don't know what I've done with them, and I take them out, I can break every one of them. But as long as they're together, united together, their strength exceeds mine. But there are other types of unity besides a physical unity. There is a mental unity. This kind of unity is responsible for most of our advances in our civilization. What is a mental unity? It is where one individual, or two individuals, or three individuals will put their intelligence together, share with each other, and in like manner, their strength is combined. Let me give you an example. Let's say there is an individual with an imagination of a huge building reaching high into the sky. He knows its height, he knows its width, he knows its length. He also knows that it needs plumbing, it needs running water, it needs electricity. It needs the modern conveniences that modern buildings have, but he may not have the slightest idea of how to install these facilities. He probably doesn't have a clue as to what kind of foundation it would take to support such a building. So what does he do? He makes a drawing and he shares it with the plumber and the electrician and the steel worker, and they add the part that they know how to do. The plumber adds the plumbing and so on. And combined, they put it on paper, usually called a blueprint, that other people can read and understand. And using the combined knowledge of these people, this huge skyscraper becomes a reality. This is the kind of unity that we see that is able to give us what we know as our jumbo jets, which can carry hundreds of people, thousands of miles, high in the sky at speeds beyond imagination of most of the world 40 years ago. It is the kind of unity that allows us to build huge ships that sail our oceans with thousands of people in the comfort and luxury that is usually beyond the comfort and luxury that they have in their own homes. This is a mental unity. Combined with the physical unity of the people that actually do the work, there is much almost beyond imagination. As a matter of fact, God makes the statement in the New Testament that if men were left alone, united, that there would be nothing that they could imagine that would be impossible for them to do. There is much, much power in a mental unity. But there is another unity which has more power than these. There is a spiritual unity. What is a spiritual unity? Well, to begin with, it has power beyond our imagination. It is a unity where an individual will unite his spirit with God's spirit, and he obeys God's every command. As far as can be determined, we do not have the power to have this kind of unity with our Creator. We do have a few examples in the Bible about this kind of power. There was once a man by the name of Samson. I'm sure you've heard his story. But even before he was born, his mother was visited by an angel and gave her instructions of how he was to be raised. He was to be a Nazarite from birth. He was not to drink strong drink. He was not to shave or cut his hair. And he was not to eat any unclean thing. Samson became a judge of Israel. And when he was judge, he protected Israel from the Philistines, which were their enemy, that were nearby. At one point in Samson's life, he took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men. One man against 1,000 is pretty good odds. Another time, he took the gates, or the doors of the gates of the city, uplifted the post and everything, and carried them away. Samson had great power as long as his spirit was united with God's spirit. But Samson had a weakness. A weakness that many men still have today. He liked the women. He got entangled with a gal called Delilah. And she coaxed him till he revealed to her one of the secrets of his power. When he did, she cut his hair. And when she cut his hair, God's unity with Samson was severed, and he lost his unity, and he lost his power. When he lost his power, Delilah called for the Philistines, and they come. They bound Samson and carried him off to prison. They put his eyes out, and for a period of time, he slaved in the prison. Then one day, the lords of the Philistines decided to call the people together to make a sacrifice unto their god, Dagon. They were there, and I don't know how, there was a great crowd of them. We know there were at least 3,000. After they apparently got drunk, they thought, well, let's just call Samson up, and we'll make sport of him and just, you know, analyze him. And they did. When Samson arrived, being blind, he was led. He was led, I think the Bible says, by a lad. And he asked the lad to take him to the pillars in the center of the house. And the lad did. And Samson, standing between these pillars, he prayed to God. God, restore our unity. And God did. And with that unity, his power was returned. He put his right hand on one pillar, the left hand on another pillar, and with all his strength, he moved the pillars from their foundation, and the whole building collapsed, killing more people than Samson had killed in his entire life. And remember, he killed 1,000 at one time. There is great strength in a spiritual unity. Of course, I'm sure you know about Moses, who stretched out his hands over the Red Sea, and the waters parted, walls of water on each side, and a whole nation, we know more than 1 million people, walked through the Red Sea on dry land. But you know, the Egyptians weren't dummies. They thought, well, if they can do it, we can do it. So the Egyptians followed in hot pursuit. But after all of Israel had passed through on dry land, was standing on the shore, Moses again stretched forth his hands over the waters, and they returned to their natural being. And the complete, well, all of Pharaoh's army, including the chariots and the horses, were drowned in the sight of the Israelites watching from the underside. Then there was Joshua, who basically done the same thing to the Jordan River when it was flooded its banks. He parted the river and Israel passed through on dry land. And at God's instruction, Joshua caused the walls of Jericho, a whole city, to collapse. And Israel marched into the city. There is great power in a physical unity. And, of course, the greatest example of a unity, a spiritual unity, was with Jesus Christ himself. He was completely and totally united with his Father. And this man raised people from the dead. He himself, after being dead for 3 days and 3 nights, came forth from the grave. He gave us power, you and me, power, if we will turn to Jesus, that we can inherit eternal life. Even though we do not have the power for a complete unity with our Creator, He will not turn down anyone who honestly and sincerely surrenders their life and accepts Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. He will come into your life. He will change your life. He will give you the power to live in peace in this sin-filled, corrupt world. He will give you the power to be able to say, as David of old said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Even though you may be struggling in this life, even though that your health is diminished, even though that death is imminent, you will be able to know in your heart and understand that when Jesus Christ comes again, and He will come again, that He will say to you, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He will give you the power to understand, to know, to say what the author, Horatio, can't remember his name, Horatio Spafford said in his song, "It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul." Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.